Just yesterday, I was visiting, well, for several days, but including yesterday, I was up at my parents' house, and yesterday we had our, good catch, right on. We had our family Christmas, which in the recent years we've been doing the weekend after Christmas itself, because my two siblings, my brother and sister, they now have their own families, right? And so they do their family Christmas on Christmas Day, and the Lenz family Christmas will happen on the weekend after. So we had it yesterday. Really good time. It reminded me of how much I love being an uncle and not being a father, so that was good. Love all the good fun parts. Grateful to give the children back to the mom and dad when they're not being fun. But it's really, it's an especially good time these years for us, as my siblings have young families. My oldest nephew is 6, and the youngest is 1, and then there's a new baby that's on the way. And so between the ages of 1 and 6, children are still very much, they relate to everything as children do, which is from a proximity of about 4 inches away from whatever it is that they're interested in. And so if they're interested in you, they are right up next to you, and they want to be near you and around you. And so we have this kind of unspoken game, the adults, as to which adult does the child want. And so you get like +1 points if a kid comes to you and wants a hug from you, or wants to be held by you, or wants to rock with you. And so we all like look around at each other, and we're all like, I'm winning, I'm winning. So a lot of fun. Continued that game, continued yesterday. I was pretty fortunate I got to rock with my youngest niece, Rosalyn, who had a period of about 5 minutes of being super content, just right in my arms. And it kind of reminded me of my own childhood. When I was a kid, all three of us, me and my brother and sister, we loved rocking with our dad. We just loved it. And so it must be in the genes, because all of the grandkids also love to rock, especially with grandpa. But every once in a while, uncle will do okay as well. So I was winning for just a little bit yesterday afternoon with my little niece, Rosalyn. And there's something so beautiful about the proximity of a child in relation to the one that the child loves, even in their simplicity, that you can't help but they just nuggle you in such a way, and you're like, yeah, I'll nuggle you too. It's beautiful. It's just such a simple exchange of love. And it gives me just a great appreciation for my siblings, and just the great job that they're doing as moms and dads, and raising their kids and being moms and dads, you know, in that way. It was a good reflection for me because of today's Feast of the Holy Family, which always happens within the octave of Christmas. And we have some really heartfelt but profound readings in relation to the Feast of the Holy Family, which we heard firstly about the great woman Hannah, and how Hannah prayed and prayed and prayed, and we know from her story that she was barren for many, many years, right? And she prayed to the point at which, when she was praying in the temple for a baby, she appeared to be drunk. And Eli came before her and said, what are you doing in the temple drunk? And she says, I'm not drunk, I'm sad, I'm lamenting, and I'm really praying that the Lord gives me a child. Just the profound emotion, right, this desire of motherhood that Hannah had. And the Lord heard her, right, and the Lord gave her a firstborn boy. And she, in her own way, just such an image of our forefather Abraham, and how there was an only child that was given, and how could have Hannah decided in that moment as a mother to give the child back? I mean, that's just a very different order of grace in someone's life. You know, for me to say, I want this gift, I want this gift, and it was a beautiful and good thing that she wanted. And yet, as she received the gift, she believed in God's generosity. And she believed it in such an integrated way in her heart that she was unafraid to give that gift back to the Lord, knowing that she would not be left empty or in poverty or bereft of joy, that That she was actually able to, I don't know, what mother or father could do, that's a very hard, to think about the like the personal emotions that one, just put yourself in Hannah's position, right? That's no ordinary moment of a mother's love. And so Hannah, the great model of generosity, because she believed that God's generosity would not be outdone, even if, and especially when she was generous with the Lord in return. Even with that greatest of gifts, right, that she prayed and prayed and prayed for. And she gave him back to the Lord. That is a good sort of prelude into the story of Mary and Joseph. And I'm so glad that the Gospels give us this story, right? The Gospels don't speak a whole lot at all about the life of Jesus before he was ministering in public as a 30-year-old young man. And we have, right, the accounts of the birth and the baptism and then this, like, one little episode of Jesus when he's 12, and the rest of it is silent, right? But we get this one, which is such a great story to receive. For anybody out there who's a mother or father or a grandma or a grandpa or an aunt or an uncle, anybody who loves the children in your family and who experiences in some way that connection of what it means to truly love one's own kin. And so Mary and Joseph, who, of course, we know are probably, like, right, the best parents that ever existed in human history. I don't know if anybody was ever a better parent than Mary or Joseph. And here they are losing their son, Jesus. And when they find Jesus, I am astounded by the words that they use when they find the boy Jesus, because Mary says, "Son, why have you done this to us? Your father and I have been looking for you with great anxiety." Well, if I were Mary, I would probably be saying many swear words in lieu of what was spoken by her mouth. I would be livid, right? I mean, we can imagine the anxiety. Even me as an uncle, what if I, like, lost my brother's child? He was in my care, and I was like, "Sorry, Dave, I lost Charlotte. I don't know where she is." Oh my gosh. Even as an uncle, I mean, I would just feel like deathly ill. Not to mention what you might feel as a parent if it was your own, if it was your own child. And some part of me also wonders, like, what's the internal conversation that they're having as well within themselves in the midst of this moment? Because for 3 days, they're thinking, like, "Oh my Lord, I lost my child." And then they meet Jesus. And Jesus says, "Why were you looking for me? Did you not know that I was supposed to be in my father's house?" And so there's this twofold interior emotion in that moment that I have to imagine what's going on. "Oh, thank God, I didn't lose my child. Oh, wait a minute, my child lost himself." The great relief. "Oh no, it wasn't my mistake after all. It wasn't my fault. I didn't lose my child. But wait a minute. My child just lost himself on purpose." Wow. A very profound moment of confusion, right, in the life of the Holy Family. And it says particularly of Mary, well, it says of both of them, they hadn't a clue. They didn't understand what was going on, and they didn't understand what Jesus was saying. And at the end it says, "And yet Jesus' mother kept all these things in her heart." I was just at Spiritual Direction on Friday. Once a month I go see my spiritual director, a priest, who is a really good and holy and wise man. And so on Friday I was just, we were speaking about my life in the last month, and I was relating to him an issue that I often have in my own life, which is the issue of trust. And how my heart actually trusts God and how it does not trust God. In all of these little ways that I struggle, in the way that Hannah was able to overcome this human struggle, but maybe this is you as well, where we approach our lives and we think about the good things that God gives us and we're like, "I just want to keep them." And we can be very afraid, especially interiorly, to be generous with the Lord, because we think, well, if I give to the Lord, then I'm empty. And we have this stupid lie that we believe that it's as if we fully give ourselves to the Lord, he will be stingy. And that we'll be left with nothing, right? And so we have this idea that even the blessings that we receive from the God, they're like, oh yeah, they're for me to keep, like I get them. And my spiritual director said, yeah, you know what, it's like that age-old problem. Is your heart full of integrity? Or do you have a divided heart? And when I have a divided heart, that's what brings anxiety, of course, right, into even the blessings of my life. Right, the anxiety comes even in regards to those blessings if my heart's divided. Because those blessings then become something for me to like take hold of instead of being held with open hands and giving in return with open hands. Think about perhaps what Mary and Joseph must have gone through. I mean, did they not snuggle with the boy Jesus and their child for all those years? And they had that blessing that they received from the Lord. And what is it, right, in those moments that we have as families where we spend this time together, and especially with our children, and there is something so enjoyable about the love of the child when the child loves you and wants you. And we just want to hold on to that. Even as an uncle, I just love holding on to that. And so then, in this moment of the life of Mary and Joseph, sublimely graced as they were, still lived a family life where they felt like at times they just didn't have it together. They were like, yeah, I don't know, I just thought the mark of being a good parent was you don't lose your child. I lost my child. I don't know. You know, that those words were on the hearts of the greatest mom and dad that ever existed. Which I hope is really great consolation for all of us, whether we're a mother or a father or an uncle or an aunt or a grandma or a grandpa or whatever that is. Because we're sometimes confronted with how it is we receive our blessings and even the good things that we love to hold on to. And right in the Mary and Joseph discovered this truth that God wanted to give them in the moment to say, your son will now be shared in a different way. And in that moment, of course, they didn't understand. But it is something very common to every family, right? Where it's usually, right, the mother that says, oh, baby, just come back and stay with mommy. And daddy's like, go, son, go off into the world, right? This dynamic of keeping something, the blessing to ourselves, and giving the blessing away. And how does that dynamic work itself out? You know, as our children grow, I've spoken with enough people in the last 2.5 years of priesthood, even mothers and fathers of grown children who don't feel like they have it together. And they just say, Father, I don't know. And I'm like, neither do I. But let's pray. Let's pray. And let's especially ask God for the grace that Mary had. Right, Mary, who, and Joseph as well, but as it says of Mary, right, who didn't understand how this blessing was being given to her and how she was being asked to share this blessing in a new way, even in that anxiety, retained the integrity of her heart. Retained the integrity of her heart. And we know that she retained the integrity of her heart because the gospel says this, that she pondered these things. And that she pondered them. Like, even in her lack of understanding, she was yet able to say, God, I trust you with my child, and I don't understand. If you're a mom or a dad or a grandma or a grandpa or an aunt or an uncle, how many times have you perhaps said that? I give you my child because I just don't understand. I don't understand why they did this. I don't understand why they chose that. My son lost himself. I mean, Jesus chose, right? Sometimes we can get very confused and confounded and feel like we don't know how to perhaps be a good parent in that regard. You know, Mary and Joseph must have felt like failures for a couple days. And yet there was the grace. Do we trust the Lord with the blessing even there, right? Even in the confusion. Because God is generous. And God says, I will never take my blessing away from you to make you bereft. Because when I decide to give a gift, I will always have that gift given. And even if that gift seems to be taken away, or even if that gift seems to change, and even if that gift comes to a place where you don't understand and you're confounded, my grace is nonetheless still there with you to provide you everything you need to continue to trust in me and to believe that it's not lost, right? That is such a grace of the human family, which is why it's so beautiful for us to celebrate the Feast of the Holy Family, because we celebrate human beings, the best of human beings, who said the same things that we don't say, or who said the same things that we also say, which is, I don't know, which is, I don't understand, which is that I'm filled with anxiety, which is probably like, how am I feeling like I have failed? But God's grace was there at every moment. And God's grace is there for you and me at every moment as well. And God always gives us the invitation to receive the grace of an integrated heart, a heart that's not divided. Even if a heart feels anxiety, to say, Lord, I trust you. Help me to simply ponder this in my heart. And in the long run, we know, of course, that in the life of Mary and Joseph both, they would receive the sublime joy and grace of having been faithful through all of those anxieties and all of those sufferings and all of those confusions. And what do they have right now? But the glory of eternal heaven. And that's in store for us. And so we ask anew this day, as mothers, as fathers, as uncles, as aunts, as grandmas and grandpas, spiritual mothers, spiritual fathers, for the grace that Mary and Joseph received to ponder all life's events in our hearts and to believe that God is never outdone in his own generosity.